The Best of British on LBC with Hampton by Hilton, making you welcome in Bristol, Birmingham, Liverpool and over 20 other hotels in the UK.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari with The Best of British with Hampton by Hilton, a series of one-to-one conversations with leaders in the world of business. Over the course of the next few months, I'll be speaking with the trailblazers who are leading the way in business and doing things differently. Go online to lbc.co.uk to find out more. And this time, I'm joined by Catherine Parsons, co-founder and CEO of Decoded. Catherine Parsons, if you had to put your job on a passport, your job description, which we don't anymore, what would you put?
I actually do. When you go in and you have to sign your form, I say that I'm technology educator.
And now, break that down. What does that mean?
But the amazing thing is they do actually ask me that when I'm going into countries. And when I turn around and say, well, I could teach you how to code, they all say, sign me up. And the team are always joking that, you know, always selling, Catherine, always selling.
Always selling. So let's go back to your school days. In which subjects did a young Catherine excel?
It was funny. You know, actually, I just held this workshop in Amsterdam asking people to remember their most positive and most negative education experiences. And I suppose that's kind of what we're trying to do with code is kind of correct what went wrong for a lot of people when it comes to mathematics or technology or what was called IT, because it's impacting absolutely everything. But for me, language is really stuck. That idea of decoding codes, really. So there was like Latin, ancient Greek, Japanese, Mandarin, maps, anything that looked kind of indecipherable, I wanted to decode it.
You studied Japanese at a very high level.
So I went to SOAS, yeah. But I was only 15. So I was going to kind of higher education.
Wow.
Classes.
Okay. So in a sense, and I'm going to ask you to define coding in a sentence in a moment, but in a sense, possibly the grounding for your coding was decoding Japanese, decoding other languages and bringing it into English, effectively.
Yeah, I often say that the two most important letters in decoded are DE. And
because,
not to get kind of over confused or distracted by the word code, you know, code is a tool. It's a shorthand for a lot of different things. And really, the art of what we do is taking away the jargon, taking away the cliches, making it really hands-on as well, and decoding it, simplifying the complex. I mean, it takes us 2 years to develop a product whereby we could teach people, say, to code an app in a single day or learn how to prototype their idea in half a day. That process itself is a very long process. So in a way, our thing is the art of learning. And I've always been obsessed with the art of learning.
What do you mean by that? Always been obsessed. The natural question now is, did you want to be a teacher?
Yeah, actually, a lot of people who studied with me went and became teachers who had a real passion for their subject. But if you'd asked me after university, did I think I was going to go into anything to do with education? Honestly, I would have said no. I could not. The idea of doing another exam was just so painful to me. What I wanted to do was start a business.
Right. And why? Why was it important to be a businesswoman?
My dad used to give me books when I was about 7 years old on how to start a business.
Oh, God. Was your dad a successful businessman?
He was a self-made man, and so was my mum.
Tell me what they did briefly.
So they
what
both,
they do, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, they both moved to London from Ireland in the 60s.
Right.
My mum was a nurse, and my dad was an accountant.
Right.
And they just kind of worked really, really hard and always taught me that, you know, work really hard. Education is really important. And
you say that. Okay. How did they teach you that? I mean, do they sit you around the kitchen table and say, work is really important? I mean, did they just give it off? How does it happen?
You actually just brought back visions of Sunday morning breakfast.
Really?
No. Yeah, I mean...
He shouted at me. Do you have brothers and sisters? I'm sorry, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older sister.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was very much like my dad would give me a book on how to start a business.
And what age were you?
Seven.
Let's just say that. So age seven.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless him. Your dad's giving you books on how to start businesses.
Yeah. And he would always hand over his notes from any training courses that he went on as an accountant.
How old would you have been then?
Still 7, 8, 9, 10. So negotiation skills.
Wow.
See, I know we kind of joke about it now, but it was his 70th birthday 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
It was really fun to kind of recall all these kind of hilarious experiences where he basically had us as entrepreneurs kind of in training almost. And but then I discovered technology really after university, I think. I mean, I was always into gaming. Mm. And so if you look at my bookshelf when I was a kid, it was like loads of kind of games, all these books on how to start a business and negotiation skills and things like that my dad had given me.
I've got to ask, back to you in a moment, what is your sister? Is she sort of second in command at Apple or something like that? Is she equally successful?
She is very successful, but we're very different, but we get on amazingly well. She works in finance. She's an analyst.
Okay.
She's incredibly analytical, incredibly numerate.
Okay.
She was definitely the bright one.
How proud are your parents of you?
It's amazing. You know, last week I took them to Buckingham Palace to go for my investiture for an MBE. And I have to say, it was just this kind of amazing moment where I thought, you know, once in a lifetime, you know, does it get any better than this? And we've
You're ridiculously young. Of course it's going to get better than this.
I'm not ridiculously young.
This is a question I normally close with. Let's bring it forward a little. What's the next challenge?
The next challenge is, you know, we started in 2011 with, you know, a credit card loan, Shoreditch, you know, warehouse, which is now really cool, but at the time it's just really cheap. And I had no idea really when we started with this promise of technology education and just coding a day, that actually it would become as relevant as it is now and to the point of urgency. You know, the world is changing. Every single industry and sector is being impacted by technology and every single economy. And we're seeing it reverberate in everything. You can't turn a page without really pointing it and saying technology has something to do with that. And the disparity between the people who actually have the skill sets and don't. Yeah. So for me, I really scale is what we're doing.
So you started with a credit card and one table in Shoreditch. Tell me about the size of your business now.
So last year, we visited about 85 different cities, teaching code, data, artificial intelligence, blockchain, hacking, I think we're on target. I'm hoping we're around 150,000 learners face to face from the professional world.
Yeah. How many staff do you employ?
I think about 100, yeah.
If I asked your staff what sort of boss you were...
Oh, God.
I haven't even finished the question. What would they tell me?
I think they'd laugh at the word boss.
Why?
Because it feels a bit old school and a bit hierarchical. I'd say we're a team. They describe it as a family. So when we do a lot of kind of go around, describe the culture of Decoded. And they'll say, passionate about education, passionate about learning, family... Yellow.
Yellow?
That's the colour.
The whole thing is in, the offices are all in yellow.
That's what they say when we do this research. But the logo's yellow. And so we have yellow mugs and yellow everything. I even wore a yellow leather jacket yesterday.
Can you do discipline if you need to?
Yeah, no, we're very disciplined. I mean,
but if you've got a member of staff who's not hitting the spot consistently, he or she's just, and you know they're better than they're being... How would you G them up, egg them on, whatever you want to say?
I think it's a combination. I mean, to be honest, you know, when you start, you don't realise that you're also going to go through a learning process of learning how to be a business person and how to be a good person in business.
Yeah.
And hiring is probably the biggest challenge for any business, let alone a business which is trying to find highly technical people who are brilliant communicators. And that's the combination of kind of unicorn human being that we're looking for in the business.
What was the moment you realised you'd made it?
I haven't yet. Can you come back to me in maybe like a year and a half, 2 years? I want to really
What will you have achieved in 18 months or 2 years that you haven't achieved now?
I want us to reach millions of learners. And I want us to... I know that there is evidence. I've seen us transform individuals time and time again. And I want us to be able to show the data that we can transform an entire industry or an entire economy through the power of high-quality technology education.
How would you transform an economy?
Well, I think the economy is kind of made up of human beings working in businesses. And a lot of businesses are thinking, how do we adapt? How do we change? How do we upgrade our capabilities and skills so that people know how to work with robotics, know how to work with artificial intelligence, know how to be lean and agile, all these new things? And for me, that's a process of really good education.
Tell me some of the famous people or organisations you've worked with.
It's incredible, really. So the team in America were teaching I believe, like the CAA, you know, all the kind of celebrities, Carson, Mr. Robot, all those people, they were teaching them hacking. And I think they're going to close the NASDAQ, like with the, all these other kind of hackers and team of cybersecurity people.
Wow.
So sometimes they don't always get to go to these amazing things because they're happening all over the world. But who else have we taught? We taught the Duke of York. And in fact, he was one of the first people to ever come along.
What kind of student is the Duke of York?
Fantastic.
Is he?
He's actually one of the first. He spotted the need for code education, especially in kind of schools.
Now, I want to talk to you about this. Tell me about the work. So the initiative you have in schools is in part due to Prince Andrew.
It's a community effort. I would say that there's a collective of people involved in the code agenda in the UK who are very collaborative because it's such a big problem. It's going to take a community of people to solve it. So whether that's Code Club, whether it's Rewired States, a lot of different groups kind of acting in this area, trying to address the same problem from different angles.
So what is it you actually do in school, you and your colleagues do in schools?
So when we were campaigning in 2014 for code on the national curriculum, that was a kind of collective effort, even globally. It was successful. And then we created a course to teach 500 teachers for free from state schools, something that we call Code Ed, which was basically teaching them how to bring the skills alive in the classroom, make them better at what they do already, not, you know, just give them lots of tools. And fast forward to today, that problem is just so big. You know,
sorry, what problem when you say that problem?
I think the educational revolution in kind of primary and higher education, that it is something that I've started getting more involved in. So, for example, chairing this Institute of Coding, which is a £20 million government fund that's going to be awarded to a higher education institute in a few months later in the year to be match funded by business, which I think is great. You know, business collaborating with higher education, saying these are the skills that we need in the world of work right now. But more importantly, the kind of brief for it is quite open in terms of be revolutionary, rethink things. Don't just think, let's put another subject on a curriculum. How would you actually rip up the education system and start again?
How ready are schools to do that? What happens if you encounter, I won't say resistance, that's the wrong word, but you encounter difficulties. How do you get around them?
Yeah, and I am very aware that that idea of kind of forcing change on anyone, it never works. People need to opt into it themselves. So the idea that we would even be teaching someone at Decoded who didn't want to be there.
No point.
You're in a bad place. You know, somebody needs to want to explore something. So for me, I think it really, when it comes to the educators, how do you provide the best resources, tools and skills? And then funding. So a lot of the barriers are really to do with the ability to access financing to...
And how is funding? What would you say the level of funding is like?
I think I'm hoping that it's going to become more significant in the next few years because it does feel the agenda has massively shifted in the last 3 years, where technology education was kind of seen as this.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would go and talk to the board of a company and they would say, why do I need to understand what's under the car bonnet in order to drive the car? But now they realise that digital literacy and skills at a kind of broad level or really a deep skills level is the skill set of the future. And I think as business begins to understand that and government begins to see that and schools begin to want to bring that in, that's going to be a real sweet spot. Actually, we should be really proud in the UK, having travelled to 85 different cities globally. People want to know what we're doing here. We have the most incredible legacy for education and we have the most incredible educators and we have a great legacy in technology as well.
Can I say we're market leaders then?
Yeah.
Who would say that's fair?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think people turn to us to know how we're doing things and who we're teaching and how we're teaching.
Someone listening now who's really determined to set up his or her own business.
Yeah.
Pass on the most important lesson that you've learned in setting up your own business.
I think the hardest thing is making the leap. You know, and it is hard. It's never going to be easy, you know, because it is a big financial leap. You know, often you're kind of leaping from one thing to another. A lot of people I know, actually, they put their foot in both camps. You know, they'll kind of keep a part-time job and play with their idea. But the most important thing is you do it. Do it and tell people about it. Keeping your idea or your ambition kind of to yourself is pointless. Actually, when you put your idea out there, it's incredible how many people want to help you and support you and help you make that a reality.
And let's finish by going back in time. You're the seven-year-old girl back in your bedroom. Your dad is giving you all these how-to-launch business manuals. I've talked about lessons. What's this one thing you can remember reading as a seven-year-old girl thinking, oh, that's smart. If ever I run a business, I'm going to do that.
Oh, wow. I think it was that negotiation skills piece, really. It was that idea that you need to take people on a journey, not telling people what to do. And in order to kind of get to a place, everyone else has to need to want to buy into that as well.
So shouting at people doesn't work?
Definitely not.
No. Even like, if they're incompetent?
I mean, like, I don't know. It's like, everyone has a competency. If you've brought someone in who's incompetent, it's probably my fault that I brought them in and put them on the wrong role. So I kind of think...
Well, you were a good student at school, weren't you? You were top of the class, weren't you?
You know, I kind of went
you
up
were.
And down.
No, you didn't. You were what my children...
Bit of a squat.
No, boffin. You were a boffin.
I did like the library.
Probably says it all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The Best of British on LBC with Hampton by Hilton, making you welcome in Bristol, Birmingham, Liverpool and over 20 other hotels in the UK.